5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at kntrtalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
No police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights. Who did Great Minds at NASA turn to?
No police!
No. This world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy.
And welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. And with me in the studio, Councilman Cameron Moses.
How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well.
Excellent. We have a city council meeting tonight. That's why Cameron's here. And not to be outdone, of course, Mayor Cal Sheehy on the phone. How are you, sir?
Good. Good morning. Thank you for having me and Happy New Year.
I had to save the best for last. How's that? Are you there?
I am, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I said I had to save the best for last. That's why I introduced Cameron first.
Oh, geez. I appreciate that.
Now, he's been a wealth of information this morning. I even learned how the restaurant, Che Bones, got its name.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. I won't have him going all that on the air. But, sometime when you're out there, listeners, and you run into Councilman Cameron Moses, ask him how the restaurant got his name. It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's see. Tonight, I don't believe we have any games on the sports station, and we do not. But tomorrow night, you know what? I don't have that schedule in front of me. I'll have to get that after the break. So, anyway, tomorrow night, I believe, is Suns basketball, and Thursday night, we're carrying ASU basketball now.
Nice.
You know why? Because we're in ASU town.
We are.
That's right. ASU at Lake Havasu going strong.
I say that begrudgingly that I like it.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm a University of Arizona guy.
Well, I'm a UNLV guy, and I'm okay with ASU, but not U of A. That's a back-in-the-day thing. So, Mayor Cal Sheehy on the phone. We have a council meeting tonight. I kind of wanted to talk about Tri-City Council as well, Mr. Mayor, before we get into the minutia of tonight's council meeting. Tri-City Council scheduled for the 20th, I believe. Is that next Wednesday?
That's correct. Yes, next Wednesday.
And I guess I'm not sure if it's an agenda item or not, but some of the troubles that the community or communities have been having with Suddenlink are going to be addressed by the three mayors and the three city managers. Can you get into that for me, please?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, the Tri-City Council is the combined councils of like Havasu City, Kingman, and Bullhead City. And each year, the chairman or chairwoman changes based on the city. So last year, I was the chairman of the Tri-City Council, and we invited Suddenlink and their representatives to attend the meeting and go over their infrastructure and capital planning, their customer service, their acquisition, and the lack of general service that we have in our area, or even the reliability of the systems and what we found out to be all three of our communities. We did that meeting last January, and then obviously with COVID and some of the shutdowns, it made it very difficult to have follow-up on that. So I've asked for this item to come back before us and invite Suddenlink back again so we can have those renewed conversations. And in the meantime, we're finding that there's even more service issues in our respective communities. And our citizens deserve and need reliable, high-speed connectivity, and we need to make sure that Suddenlink is providing that for our citizens in a reliable fashion. So really excited about that conversation that we're going to have next week, and we can get some additional direction from Suddenlink on what they're doing to invest in their systems to ensure that our citizens have access to what they're paying for.
So if I'm hearing between the lines with your answer there, Cal, all three communities are having problems with Suddenlink.
Yeah, that is correct. Initially, it was funny. We thought it was each of us individually.
Yes.
And then as we got talking, we realized that these issues are very similar, and all of our communities were having the same things. And so, I mean, it goes anywhere from customer service to access to system reliability to increasing costs. I mean, there's a variety of different components that our citizens bring forward and are having issues with, and we just need to get to the end of it and resolve it for our citizens.
Sure. I know as an employee that works for a business that's serviced by Suddenlink, but phone, internet, and television, when one goes out, they all go out. So if you lose your internet, you have no telephone. How can a business survive without a telephone?
Yeah, no, it's really difficult, and especially as the city and state and country has shifted over the last year to more online reliability. So our school children are using Zoom and other electronic means. Our business community are shifting to online means. And so we need to ensure that we have that access for our citizens to be able to get online, be reliable, and be able to get what they need done, especially in these current times of transition.
You know, in their defense, Cal, I don't know if you know this, but they did provide a person to reach out to that actually visited our business and said, hey, here's my cell number, text me if you have issues, that sort of thing. So they may come back with that too. So there has been some outreach, at least for our business on this end, from them to rectify the situation. But it's just, I mean, for me, working from home to communicate with the business sometimes is just, it's brutal, you know, and it's time consuming as well. So when you're dealing with deadlines and that, time consuming is not a good thing.
No, yeah, time consuming, frustrating, irritating. I mean, there's all of these things that it just shouldn't be. And certainly, you know, we can remain patient and understand that issues are going to arise, but when it seems to be more of the norm, and not the exception, that's when we need to get to the bottom of this and be able to move forward so our communities can continue to thrive and our citizens have access to that reliable, high-speed internet services.
Cameron, did you have any input on this?
No, I mean, I've experienced similar problems with my business to the point where we actually got a redundant service just in case one went down. We
really?
The other one. Oh, I mean, if internet goes down, I'm not, at least with my last you know, computer system that we had, because everything's done on a computer now, you know what I mean? So with if the last one went down, I'm not taking orders.
Oh, that would affect online ordering and everything, right?
It used to affect everything. Now we can act autonomously, but we can't take credit cards, and that's a huge issue.
Oh, I see.
I mean, my business probably accepts 90% of my payments with their credit cards, so it's just not going to...
Right, right.
It wouldn't happen if we wouldn't be able to operate if internet's not on board with that.
Mr. Mayor, has there been any outreach to any other ISPs, let's say Cox or Suddenlink or any? I'm not Suddenlink. I'm sorry, CenturyLink, which is a different company now. I can't remember their name. I think it's Lumen. Has there been any outreach, or is there a way? I'm not sure if there's a franchise license agreement with Suddenlink. How does all this work? How does that all play in?
Sure. Yeah, there has been outreach, and you know, there are other services other than just Suddenlink that are already currently available within our community. So there's wire-free. There's also DSL service through Frontier. So there are some other options that are there. Again, all of the service options that are available within our communities need to be reliable and working for our citizens as we move forward. But one of the challenges that we have is the barrier to entry from a cost standpoint. So all of the infrastructure to run these networks are currently owned by other companies. And so either they would have to run all of their own infrastructure or broadband or fiber or whatever it may be, to get connectivity to the area, or they would have to lease space from other providers. And so it's a very costly proposition to enter into a new market, but we're willing and able to do whatever it is to ensure that our residents have access to reliable service.
I don't know about you, Cameron, but I have that Top Gun philosophy when it comes to internet. I have a need for speed. You know what I'm saying?
You're speaking my language.
Some ISPs just don't go there. And I know they're going to have an option up in Bullhead City soon, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't help Havasu. So anyway, a little early to take a break. Should we dive into city council matters right now?
I think we
should. Sure.
Okay. What do you guys want to start with?
Well, I just right off the bat, I kind of what's exciting to me is all the new. We have a bunch of new liquor licenses coming for approval.
Oh,
And we've had some in the past meetings too, just in my short time on the council, and that's exciting. Seeing those businesses' growth, I think that's a good indicator of where our community's at as
right.
far as you know, hanging in there strong and managing everything through through our environment that we're in.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught the governor's State of the State message yesterday, Cal.
I did, yes.
I thought it was interesting how he pointed out, you know, we've kept Arizona open. Yes, our numbers are high, but compared to states that are on lockdown, you know, they don't have the answer, we don't have the answer. So what is the answer, right? Vaccinations. That was pretty much the message I got when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah, no, I think that the governor was steadfast in his approach that we'll remain open, but we still need to remain focused on the mitigation strategies. So for citizens and employees and people moving about the community, you know, that's staying home when you're not feeling well, obviously regularly wash your hands, physically distancing, and then wearing a mask when appropriate. If we follow these steps, we'll be able to continue to remain open and do so safely. And then when the vaccination is available under your category to vaccinate. And so Lake Havasu City has been working with the Mojave County Department of Public Health and other partners to ensure a smooth and efficient rollout of the vaccine. And actually just late last week moved from Category 1A to Category 1B with certain priority for certain citizens. So, you know, that's the police officers, teachers, some of those in that category of 1B. And then we'll continue the rollout as the supply is available to ensure that anyone that wants a vaccine has access and availability to get that vaccine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that talk show hosts are 4F, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I don't think you're that far down the road, but I do think it's coming. And my hope is that we can pry open these supply chains and get these vaccines out to providers that can provide them to citizens that want them so that we can move in a quick and orderly fashion and get vaccine and vaccinations to all of those citizens that want that.
Mr. Mayor, are you scheduled to be vaccinated then?
I will be, yes. I'm not my category. I am in 1B, but not in the current prioritization that they have. So as soon as they expand 1B, which hopefully they'll be able to do in the coming week or so, hopefully that opens up to my area. But again, they're doing sub prioritization in 1B, so I might not even be in the next phase.
Wow!
But just as soon as I'm there, I'll be signing up and getting in line.
So Cameron, if the mayor is non-essential, how does that make you feel?
Well, I think we're in the same category.
Right,
but yeah,
right.
we're not there yet.
Yeah, we are.
Sure, sure. All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. Cal, thanks for joining us on the phone, by the way. You could have easily passed the baton off to any other council member, but true to form, he's always there for us. So
yep.
Thanks so much for being here, Cal Sheehy, and join us after the break, of course. And we're with Cameron Moses as well. He's a councilman. And I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with more in a moment. We'll talk about tonight's city council meeting, and we'll love to get your input as well. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. We'll be right back. right, so the music du jour is classic rock, thanks to Cameron Moses.
Yeah.
I needed a little classic rock fix. Been a lot of country lately, which been, is okay, too.
You've been in a country rut, huh?
No, not me, my guest.
Okay.
We play with the guest once a year. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology. And don't forget, if you miss any part of this show, go to the archives. They're at KNTRtalk.com. You can stream live there as well when you leave your car, go into the house or into the home office or into the office. You can stream live at KNTRtalk.com. Any of our shows, including Kilmeade, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, and Dennis Prager. After this show, we've got Speak Out 2.0 after news and a short break. And we'll have Matt Hanrahan will be Larry's guest. From he's the owner of Barron Services. He also serves on a lot of boards and committees for organizations around Bullhead City. Matt is a great guy. Chaz Martinez, also my buddy from Talents Harbor, Bullhead City Hospital. They're the guests today on Speak Out 2.0. And our guests on Speak Out are Cameron Moses, he's the city councilman, and Mayor Cal Sheehy. And Cal, you're still on the phone, right?
I am, yes.
I thought so. It's kind of nice how you can hear everything through that feed, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I actually, when the show first began, I don't think I've ever heard your intro before when I'm on the show with you. So, yeah, quite a lively intro you have. Yeah.
That's not my fault. You need to blame the mothership for that.
Yes.
I did not. I did not write that myself. That would be no. I could never, you know, leave it to other people to compare me to a chimp. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, we do have a caller, and Mr. Mayor and Cameron, you want to take a phone call?
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi there. So I do home theater and home audio video stuff here in Havasu.
Okay.
And I have young daughters who are homeschooling. So we have the IT issues as well as the ET. What I call ET is for entertainment, like, you know, a streaming of the Netflix and all that and such.
Absolutely.
Yeah, things have been going okay on that end. But when you try to call into Suddenlink, I just ran through it yesterday with a client trying to get through to get a problem fixed. Mm-hmm. And I was on the phone on hold for an hour, and then I called back, and then I was on hold again, and then it got cut off. So anyway, yeah. the customer service thing and the phone is just, it's a huge issue when you're trying to get things done out in the field.
Absolutely.
Cal, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, and that's one of the areas beyond you know, service and reliability and all of those types of things, which can be fixed. These customer service issues, we need to be able to have access either on the telephone or in the office to quick and readily available service. We have people that are waiting in lines at the Suddenlink office here in Lake Havasu City that just go around the building, which is just not acceptable. These things have to be fixed. And we need to be able to make those things happen for our citizens. So couldn't agree more. It's an important component of what our conversations will be with Suddenlink to increase that customer service level.
Caller, did we lose you? Are you still there? Okay, he's not there. But I have a really similar customer service issue that I experienced when I moved here, Cal. And they told me to bring my modem from my address in Fort Mojave and give it to the technician when they installed the cable at the condo I'm in now. So I said, well, here's the modem. You know, I don't need it. Oh, no, you have to drive that all the way up to the Bullhead City office. We can't store that here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That was like, what? So, yeah, I had to actually go through that, you know, and then a 130-mile round trip. And I had to drop it off with somebody who could drop it off at the Bullhead City office for me because I couldn't do it during business hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just talk about inconvenience. Yeah, it definitely needs to be more customer-centric at Suddenlink.
Yeah, and you know, some of the issues that we have date back to a change in state law a couple of years ago, where they made franchise agreements of statewide concern. And so, you know, Suddenlink has a franchise agreement at the state level where they used to have them in each individual community. And so when we were able to have it in our community, we were able to have certain aspects and metrics on customer service and call centers and those types of things. And many may recall that we had a nearly 200-person call center here in Lake Havasu City to deal with customer service issues.
Oh.
And we don't have the ability to have those on our franchise agreements any longer, but we had customer service metrics, all of those things built in that are important to our citizens and ensure that they had that reliable service and access to good customer service. So those are some of the things I would like to get back to because I think that's what our citizens deserve, and I certainly believe that we're paying for it.
Yeah, and the Arizona Corporation Commission doesn't – am I correct in saying they don't have any jurisdiction over them?
No, the FCC would be where that is as far as is the regulatory body.
Wow, I wonder how we could change that. Maybe we could talk to one of our legislators and see how that can be changed to where we have more local control with the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Agreed, and that's just why it's so important to pay attention to what's happening you know, at the state level so that you understand where these types of bills come through. And, you know, we have a fantastic delegation from Mojave County, Mojave and La Paz County, with Senator Borelli and Representative Cobb and Representative Biasucci. But, you know, they're just three of the legislature. And so we just have to be careful on issues like this that get passed that then have implications at the local level that impact our real daily lives. You know, it's right. This is our children getting access to their online school or our entertainment streaming through our homes or our businesses. I mean, it's really important stuff.
Well, they may be only three in number, but two of those three are whips, you know, and they're in leadership in both the House and Senate. So
absolutely. Yeah. And the third carries the checkbook.
Right,
so
exactly.
Representative Cobb is the appropriations chair. So, yeah, we have a really powerhouse delegation representing us down in Phoenix.
Yeah, and we're proud of you guys, all of us here in Mojave County. All right,
yes,
I was going to go to break, and we've got a phone call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, Cal, Cameron.
Hi there.
This is H.R. Radke, and I wanted to talk about Suddenlink for a second.
Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. These people are crazy. What you said is absolutely true. The lines that go around the building – you go in one at a time. It takes a half hour for one person to get through the line. I moved about a month ago. Actually, I moved at the end of November. Mm-hmm. And Suddenlink, you know, I set it up. They came out. They came to my new place, and they said, oh, well, you have to go under the sidewalk to get into the house. It's a townhouse. And it took them 4 weeks to get a guy to come out and go under the sidewalk. And so I'm down with, I've got two businesses I run.
Oh, man.
I'm down for a month. I can't do my billing. I can't take care of any of my customer requests. And you, when you go online, you said it perfect. It takes an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes. And they don't offer an option that, hey, when we're done, just call, we'll call you when we have enough time. They don't even offer that. And I'm just fed up with it. I'm sick of it. And now they're trying to charge me $500 for going under my sidewalk into using their cable under my sidewalk. And I've had it. But there's no other options for high speed. So, you know, I'll take your answer off the phone. I'm just,
well, thank you.
Anytime I hear about Suddenlink, it makes me cringe.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, so thank you for that, those comments, HR. And again, I'm sorry for the frustration that you're experiencing. And your story is not, is just the same as other stories that I hear from citizens throughout our community. So that's why it is a priority for us to ensure that customer service speeds increase, access to customer service, and then, of course, the reliability of the system are all paramount to what we're trying to achieve with Centerlink. And so, you know, the tools that we have in our toolbox are limited because of the changes in state law, but we'll continue to have these discussions both in forums like this and then with Centerlink to hopefully push for change that brings more reliability, better service, and stellar customer service to our citizens, because that's what we deserve.
Cameron, did you have something to add to that?
No, I mean, it's just the same song you've heard over and over again.
Right.
I thank Cal and I thank the Tri-City Council for bringing this up a couple of years ago and for following through on it and holding their feet to the fire with the next meeting. So thank you, Cal, and
right.
Thank you to that city council.
Well, Cal, all that being said, with the Tri-City Council meeting, is there a public input portion for that meeting to where people can address their concerns? And where is that meeting being held?
You know, the meeting is actually being held virtually next Wednesday. And so public comment can be submitted via email, and then we can share that with the council. But it's virtually, and then we will hopefully have resolution that we can have in a public setting with citizens of all three of our communities to address the unique concerns that each one of us have, although they are very parallel. So
right.
That's kind of the intent at this point, to be able to drive that point forward and bring back actionable items that our citizens feel.
So is that a meeting that we can monitor on the city's website?
Yes, there is a way. If you want access, just reach out to my office and we'll get you access into it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. All right, we're pretty good time to take a break right now. Actually, maybe about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes late. But, hey, that's how we roll. All right, back with more in a moment. We're with Mayor Cal Sheehy, Councilman Cameron Moses from Lake Havasu City. I'm Paul Lavoie. And great phone calls, by the way. Thanks for making this talk radio, not just listen radio. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Chagrus Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And that sports schedule I promised earlier in the show, no game scheduled tonight, but tomorrow, Suns at home taking on Atlanta, so you'll hear Al McCoy since they're at home. That's at 7 p.m. ASU Sun Devils at Oregon Ducks, 7 p.m. on Thursday. And then to wrap it up on Friday, the Suns and the Golden State Warriors. The once great Golden State Warriors, right? You follow basketball at all, Cameron?
I do. It's one of the sports I follow, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're back on Speak Out. Welcome back. Cal Sheehy, are you with us, Mr. Mayor?
I am, yes.
Okay, great. And let's get to the council meeting tonight. There's a few presentations that look pretty interesting on the agenda. One is the census presentation from Ms. Tammy, I guess it's Paris, with the U.S. Census Bureau.
Yes, the census was obviously throughout the year of 2020. I got extended a few times based on the COVID issue that was happening, but it's now complete, and she wants to give the council a wrap-up report of how it happened and the strong takeaways and best practices that occurred over the last year with the census count. It's not going to give final numbers, but it definitely will be a wrap-up and year review of the census activities throughout the last year.
Interesting. We'll get back to that in a minute, Mr. Mayor. We do have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Cal. My name's Dave. I have a question about, I guess, the side-by-sides that seem to be ripping through all our washes here within the city limits of Lake Havasu. And I'll even say possibly they're not all in the city limits. But at the example that I have, I live up off of Cherry Tree, up off of McCullough. And the El Dorado Wash runs up there from, you know, right at the intersection there of Jamaica and McCulloch. And that whole stretch from there all the way up to the new villas in the foothills is turned into nothing but a racetrack. I mean, it is nonstop. Go fast as you can go, the dust flying, racing through there. Now, I'm a responsible side-by-side owner. I'm a member of the Lake Havasu Side-by-Side Club. But we don't ride that way, and we don't disrespect people's property that way. So I just want some thoughts on that. Some of that land up there is owned by the Lake Havasu Estates, or it's the Lake Havasu Foothill Estates, and they actually had blocked off a section of that at one time. And I guess my question is, are they responsible for some of that that goes on their property there? So I guess I'll let you respond.
Great. Yeah, thank you for the question, Dave. And it's actually the second time that I've gotten that this week. Wow. About side-by-sides and off-road vehicles. The earlier conversation that I had this week was along the highway and the dust that it's creating for potential traffic issues. And then I have spoke with several residents about citizens that are using the washes that are in the community. So not out in the desert area, those washes. These are like within Lake Havasu city limits. And so we have increased education and enforcement in those areas. This is the first time hearing specifically about the El Dorado Wash. So I'll speak with staff and get some focus on that area as well. I too am a side-by-side owner and a responsible user of the desert. But sometimes we just have to educate citizens and visitors that are using these areas on the appropriate use of that and what is acceptable in the city limits versus what's acceptable out in the desert. But at all times, we should always be using trails that are already made and not forging our own trails out there just to protect the public lands we have out there. So thank you for your comment, and I'll take it to staff, and we'll see what we can do to address it.
Did you have any other questions, Dave?
No, that's good. Thanks for that. I just wanted to address it because it's not turned in just normal riding like we used to see out in that area. It's turned in, especially with the COVID year, I mean, side-by-side sales are at a record high, and people are moving here, and they're buying them, and they're just taking off like it's a racetrack. And I just know, you know, it's just become a nuisance, and I'm not one to complain about a side-by-side. I love to ride them, but it's just gotten to the point where, I mean, we have people riding along there up through there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and with the bright light bars shining right, I mean, literally shining their LED light bars into our houses at 2 and 3 in the morning. So thanks for your answer, and hopefully we can get something figured out. Have a good day.
Yeah,
you too.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that part, and is that something where the BLM would be involved as well, Mr. Mayor?
Well, you know, Lake Havasu is very unique that we're surrounded by a variety of different landholders.
Yes.
So we have the city limits, and we have BLM lands, we have state trust land,
right,
and then we also have wildlife refuge land. I mean, so there's just a lot of partners out there that are out there, and so we bring all of them in to have this discussion. But a lot of it can just be done through education and educating the users on the appropriate use of trails and what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah, public information is key here, it sounds like.
Yes.
Let's get back to that census presentation. Is this something where the city's going to have any feedback with the presenter and best practices in that and complaints that you may have gotten from people when it comes to gathering of those census figures, you know, availability, that sort of thing?
You know, I mean, it certainly will be a two-way dialogue. So if any of the members of the council have any questions based on the presentation, that will occur this afternoon in our meeting. But most of it is just going to be a wrap-up of what it is. The census is conducted at the federal level. Certainly, like Havasu City was a partner, and we had a local team from the city. The county also had a similar team for countywide efforts to get outreach. You know, the importance of the census, it really does have long-term impacts for the next decade to states, counties, and cities throughout America based on grants and funding and all of those types of things. So it was so important that we understand the best practices from the Census Bureau and kind of a wrap-up, and then we'll be able to take that and make notes for when we go through this again in 2030.
Okay, okay. I also see where there's a Partnership for Economic Development annual update. You want to share what's going to happen there?
Sure. James Gray will give a presentation to council on the efforts of the Partnership for Economic Development, which runs the economic development arm of our community. So they're out there trying to do retention current businesses, help them scale, help our current businesses pivot if they need to, and then, of course, attracting new businesses and new jobs. And so some of the highlights this past year of economic development certainly was the attraction of PMG, which is the new manufacturer that is located in the McCulloch Shopping Center, formerly where Kmart was located. And then also another thing that's on our agenda this afternoon is a rezone for the Hastings building for UTV sales and service. Robbie Gordon with Speed UTV is looking to invest in our community, and we're really excited about that opportunity. And so we'll have a rezoning hearing this afternoon as well.
Do either you or Cameron have an update on a timeline for when that business will open, you think?
PMG or
no,
Speed UTV?
What is it called? Speed UTV?
Speed UTV. That conversation will happen tonight, so we'll get a little bit more specific. But I do know that they're ready to make the investment in our community immediately and start scaling that just as quick as possible.
Wow. That's actually big news for that old Hastings building right there. So,
it's been sitting vacant for 5 years, and this is a great use in a high visible area that will provide services to our citizens, but also has a great sales tax base that helps offset revenues and costs that are associated. And just with those two conversations alone, in addition to many other highlights that will be discussed today with the Partnership for Economic Development, that's bringing upwards of 180 permanent jobs to Lake Havasu City between the two companies.
You wanted to say, Cameron?
No, I was just saying, all things considered, the fact that we had two really big wins from the economic development side of things this year is a testament just to our city and James and council and just in the direction we're going here as a community. So, two big wins we should be proud of. Again, we got to wait and see how it shakes out at the council tonight because they are asking for a rezoning of it, of course. But these are great things that these companies are interested in our community.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned sales tax revenues, and are you surprised at the positive numbers that we've had during this pandemic?
I'm not surprised just because we've lived through it, but if you would have asked me last March and April when we were preparing the budget if we would be seeing these numbers, I would have thought there was no way, and certainly I'm surprised from that lens, but actually living through, kind of the newfound demand that Lake Havasu City found during the pandemic and that people were investing in our community either by buying homes or relocating to this area, it makes sense. And so we're just so grateful that we're in this position and we can continue to provide the services that our citizens demand and request of us with the collections that we're receiving.
Yeah, tell us about the importance of those positive numbers, not only services, but does that allow the city to do any number of investments?
Well, right now, the budget that we currently are in is a very awkward budget just because we didn't know based on the pandemic. So there were things that were budgeted that we're now able to actually bring to fruition that we weren't sure we were going to originally. So also on tonight's agenda is a new CERT vehicle. And CERT helps rehab our firefighters and first responders. They're what many folks see out in the community, green shirts, doing triage at local events.
phenomenal volunteers that are just the backbone of our community. They've been operating out of a really, really old, already repurposed vehicle that's over 35 years old and not very reliable at all. And so it's necessary for us to provide the resources for these volunteers to be able to use when they're servicing our firefighters and paramedics and the like. And so we're going to be able to move forward with that if it's successful at tonight's council meeting. It's those types of things that we can move forward with that are investments that our community has asked of us, but we weren't sure we could deliver. But now that we've been able to see where the sales tax dollars are coming from, we're going to be able to do so.
And how's the move coming to the new council chambers?
Well, that's really a courthouse, and so the courthouse will have an additional multi-purpose room that will be able to be used as a courtroom, and then also council chambers. But that is coming forward. We should have some action in front of the council shortly with moving forward with design and those types of things so that we can get all of those components together for the tenant improvements. That have the safety features of a courthouse, the office space, the courtrooms, all those types of things, moving forward. So, hopefully in the foreseeable future, 12 to 18 months or so, hopefully we'll be able to be using that facility as intended for the municipal court.
Well, what I saw as a nightmare personally would be moving that AV room.
Yes.
That's a lot of stuff to move.
Yeah.
It is a lot of stuff, but at least it's all up there with the city networks and kind of in the same area. Many of our courtrooms across the state have also had to shift to online means as well. So, the courtrooms are being equipped already with video conferencing and those types of things, sure, so that court can still go forward during the pandemic.
Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you for being on the show today. Is there anything else you wanted to get out there to the public while we have about 2 minutes?
Yeah, just a couple of things real quick. We're in the planning phases, the early planning phases to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the dedication of the London Bridge, mm-hmm, in 2021. So really excited about that. More to follow, but that'll be a big celebration in October. That mirrors what was done 50 years ago with Robert McCulloch. And then another exciting thing is we have a piece of the USS Arizona, a relic that came from Hawaii that just arrived in like Havasu City yesterday. But it'll be a piece of history that, in partnership with the Marine Corps League Detachment 757, will be on display in our community for all to see. Quite an amazing piece of history.
Wow, and from what I understand, it was a pretty heavy piece of history when it came to shipping.
That is correct. Yeah, it was quite the feat to get it over here, but it's now here and has arrived in Lake Havasu City. And again, we'll work with the partners at the Marine Corps League to get that on display for all of our citizens to see.
Wow, that's great. I can't wait to see it. Well, Mr. Mayor, I know you have a busy schedule. We're going to let you go at this point. And thanks for joining us on Speak Out today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And thank you, Councilmember Moses, for being in studio and being a part of this. And thank you to all the citizens. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Cal.
And again, council meeting tonight, what time?
6 o'clock.
And then there's a work session today.
There's...
Is that right?
A work session?
For the chip seal and all that. Is there not a work session? I thought there was. Anyway, okay. Again, council meeting tonight at 6, and we'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Cameron Moses, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Appreciate
Always
you
fun.
Being here.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Baseball season coming up, I just had to play the Charlie Blackmon walk-up music. Anyway, on tomorrow's show, we've got the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce and Esme Electric. So join us then. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Speak Out 2.0 is next after news and a short break.